For more than 35 years, the Weather Channel has been on the front lines of some of the biggest stories in the world, literally.
Waves of water are already washing over parking lots in the greater New Orleans area. Some of the first signs of the approach of Hurricane Katrina.
The Weather Channel's live and continuing coverage of Winter Storm Grayson starts right here in New York City, where snow is catching in my beard here. I'm kind of turning into an icicle on the right side of my face.
Basically, the wind is really howling outside here, so it's hard to pick up any kind of a sound from the actual tornado itself. The whole north side of Birmingham has gone black, so they've lost power there.
Just a snapshot of some of the most dramatic storms in recent years as covered by the Weather Channel. The channel is, of course, based in Atlanta. You cannot miss it from the interstate. It was founded back in 1982 by meteorologist John Coleman, who died earlier this month at age 83. The Weather Channel continues to play a major role in shaping our understanding of our environment, of the weather, of climate. Dave Scholl is the Weather Channel CEO, and he joins me now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. This is before your time, but I wonder if you couldn't think back to the founding of the Weather Channel in 1982. What would have been John Coleman's original vision for it? What was the function of a 24/7 Weather Channel in the information economy of that time that was, of course, very different from the one that we have today?
Yeah, it was fascinating times. I mean, it was almost 36 years ago now, and so he was walking and trying to find a way to kind of get weather information out to the American public. And this is a time when CNN had just started and the cable systems were growing quickly. And so he had a vision of how do I get 24/7 weather information out there on TV? And, you know, I think his view was weather is this one story that impacts all of us. Yeah. In such a real and amazing way every single day, and people wanted to learn more about what was going to happen in their lives, whether it was going to rain or snow or, you know, what they needed to wear as they walked out the door there.
Yeah, people couldn't just look that up on their phone. It's just so hard to remember how different life was at that time. If they wanted to get up-to-date weather information before the Weather Channel, I suppose they just needed to watch their local TV news in the morning and wait for them to do the weather, which they still to this day do with some frequency, but you'd still have to wait for it. When I would have turned on the Weather Channel in the 80s, how different would it be from the Weather Channel today? Was it just like rolling weather, you know, just nonstop temperatures and precipitation in my local area and nationally, or like what was it, the sort of more story-based and interview-based format that I tend to see today when I turn it on?
Yeah, you know, I think it was much more sort of your daily forecast, right? That was the first thing that we wanted to deliver 36 years ago was, here's what you need to know, here's your 5-day forecast, here's your 2-day forecast. John Coleman also had the innovation to make sure that that was localized to you. There's a whole bit of technology that he really had a very innovative idea around. And so we had that technology going up early on. But, you know, what he was delivering on screen, he was one of the innovators around green screens and how to use the green screen to sort of provide the very rudimentary weather data, but then also sort of your daily forecast. And so that was pretty unique stuff 36 years ago.
Yeah. Liz Fabian is a reporter for The Telegraph in Macon, a very valued colleague of mine these days. But back in the early to mid-1980s, she was an anchor for the Weather Channel, and we talked to her about how she's seen that job change over the years.
The meteorologists now are more in tune with broadcasting. When I first got there, I was really one of the only journalists on staff. Everybody else was a weather presenter or meteorologist. So the whole thinking and the whole evolution of what this channel was going to be has shifted dramatically as we see what's going on now.
Yeah, Dave, that makes me wonder, you know, what's the percentage of people who work at the Weather Channel who are trained meteorologists versus people who are just professional presenters of the weather? And I don't mean to say just in any demeaning sense. I suppose I am at this moment merely a professional presenter of news. It's a profession I value, but it's different from that of a scientist of weather, right?
Yeah, we think it's really important to have everyone who's on air actually be a trained scientist. And so we have 45 meteorologists on staff, and everyone that you see on air presenting the stories to you is a trained meteorologist. And that to us is really critical, right? We're here to tell the stories about the science behind weather. It's, you know, as you said, it's different than it was 35 years ago. You can get your daily forecast on the iPhone. But if you want to understand what's behind the storm, what's behind the science that's impacting the tornado, you want a scientist with some credibility to explain that to you. And we hope they're good on TV as well. We hope they're good storytellers, but they've got to be scientists first and foremost. So.
Yeah. Liz also told us that she thinks that in the years that she's watched the network grow, it really has changed the way that people think about the weather. This is what she said.
I always kind of laugh inside my head when someone's talking and they'll say, oh, well, yeah, we've got that high pressure system. And, you know, you expect them to start sweeping their hands in that clockwise motion, or when they're talking about hurricanes and, oh, the most damage is going to be on the northeast quadrant or this and that. You know, you definitely are seeing that they're picking up from the meteorologists that are continually talking to them.
So it sounds like it's working.
I am thrilled to have the mission, and we're trying to make all of America weather geeks. So we'll embrace that mission. For us, that's a badge of honor. It's great.
Sure. Speaking with Dave Scholl, he is the CEO of the Weather Channel television network based in Atlanta. Weather.com is also you guys, right?
Weather.com is now owned by IBM. So we sold some
of those. Oh, that's right. There was a split recently.
That's
yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So do you have any relationship?
We do. We do. We remain close business partners, but some of those data businesses are now owned by IBM as part of their Watson artificial intelligence initiative.
Weather Channel, as we mentioned before, founded by John Coleman in 1982, kind of a controversial figure for a few reasons. Coleman was a climate change denier, and the Weather Channel has, whether it wanted to be or not, been at the center of debates about climate change for a long time. Here is something that Coleman said about this subject on CNN pretty recently, 2014.
Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific, but the science is on my side.
Coleman, as we mentioned, passed away earlier this month. That's why we're not asking him directly right now about those comments. But David, it has been a documented thing that there is a pretty high rate of skepticism about anthropogenic climate change among meteorologists. I wonder, are these arguments that are happening in the halls a lot of the time? Is this a constant source of tension in the workplace at the Weather Channel?
You know, it's really not. We feel pretty firmly that we're a science channel, so we have an obligation to talk about the science. And for us, weather and climate are really no different. It's just a factor of time, right? Climate is just the weather over time. So as much as we honor Mr. Coleman as our founder and appreciate his vision and applaud his visionary status, we firmly disagree with him with regard to climate change. We firmly believe that climate change is real and it's man-made, and we have an obligation as a channel to talk about that and to share the science. We're not going to get into the politics. We're not going to preach to people, but we're a science channel, and we're telling the stories about science, and climate is part of that.
That said, Dave, you are on record as saying that you're not a big fan of the term climate change.
I'm not. I think the whole point here is for everyone to be talking from a basis of science. And if we get into a place where we're preaching at people, or we're using terms like climate deniers, or we're degrading people, it's not allowing us to have a debate where we're just talking about here's the science. It's very simple. Here's what's changed. Here's what's happened to our world already. And here's why. And that, to me, is a very different tone of conversation as opposed to throwing political terms back and forth.
Sure. So what's your vision for the Weather Channel as it goes forward?
I think there's a real opportunity to make TV even more immersive, right? So Mr. Coleman had the vision early on to use the green screen in a creative way. Well, 35, 36 years have elapsed now. We're very focused on augmented reality and sort of immersive mixed reality. So imagine the possibility of Jim Cantore being able to walk around a tornado that we throw up in our studio. And he's able to do that, and he's able to kind of talk about a 3D model. We're able to use very, very different green screen technology now for him to basically walk into the weather anywhere in the world, and we can create it. We can recreate sort of the hurricane or the tornado using really high-end gaming graphics. And so the technology of what you can do on the TV screen is astonishing. And so we're all in. We think we're ahead of a lot of our sports colleagues and our news colleagues. And we think this is an amazing place to apply this technology.
How do you think that being based in Atlanta might have affected the Weather Channel over these decades? Has it put you in a better position to cover the kind of extreme weather that is particular to the South, for example?
Well, I'm a transplant from Denver, so I have to say it's been a bit of an adjustment to look at the difference in snow levels and how the cities respond. But I've come to really love Atlanta. I think a lot of our viewers tend to be in the Mid-Atlantic, in the Southeast, and so they're very focused on certainly rain patterns and snow patterns and severe weather that impacts Atlanta. So I think our people live in it, right? We're not in other parts of the country, and so we're able to kind of talk to that.
I mentioned before that the Weather Channel's headquarters, it's right off the interstate. If anybody is driving near the I-75, 285 interchange north of the city, you can't miss it. It's really, really prominent from the side of the road. There was a plan announced a couple of years ago to build a new Weather Channel headquarters, and I think that at least as announced at the time, y'all were supposed to be there by now. Whatever happened to that?
You know, we've put millions of dollars just this year into new control rooms in that building there at 285 and 75, as you mentioned. So we're there for years. We've signed a 10-year lease on the facility, but I don't really see a need to move from that location. I love that location. It's accessible on both 285 and 75, and so we hope to be a prominent part of the Atlanta landscape for quite a while here.
That's Dave Shaw, CEO of the Weather Channel, based in Atlanta. Thank you so much, Dave.
My pleasure. Thank you.